Hello, and welcome back to the Mind Talk podcast. Today's episode is focusing on 400 meters. Today's guest competes for the United States of America. She made her Olympic debut at the last Olympics in Tokyo, managing to achieve a bronze medal in the 400 meters mixed relay. Taylor Manson, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. Yes, it's a sunny day in the UK, so I'm quite happy. But so yeah, I'll get straight to it. So I'll ask you a question that I like to ask all of our guests that come on. Talk to us about your first experience with sports.
My first experience with sports, I feel like I was probably around the age of 5. I actually started off with cheerleading.
Okay.
And then I went into basketball and soccer.
Yeah.
Track was more so like one of my last sports I tried. I mean, I was still like a young age, but I've tried other sports before track. Okay. I started track around like 8 years old.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like how I got into sports. My dad also played football at Michigan State. So like I have a sports background like in my family.
Okay.
My brother also played football, but he also ran track and basketball as well.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like been in my family for a little bit, but it was never like forced upon me. It was really just like for fun. And I always was like a competitive person since a kid. So
okay.
It just kind of naturally flowed.
And you mentioned you did other stuff. So what was your favorite when you were young? Was it track or was it other stuff?
I feel like because I was naturally pretty talented at track, I always liked to run as a kid. So yeah. Like I thought it was fun, but I really did enjoy cheerleading.
Yeah.
What I didn't like the most, I would say basketball, because I'm not really too much of a contact, touchy-feely, like, sports type person. So that was just a little different than, like, what I typically would have liked.
Okay. And apart from the contact, was there other things in basketball that you didn't like?
It was really just, maybe just because, like, we were younger and, like, some people just didn't really know the rules, but I just didn't enjoy being, like, scratched and slapped every game.
Yeah.
I know it was probably not intentional, but I was like, okay, this is a little bit too rough for my liking.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy like watching basketball. I wasn't really that great though. Like my hand-eye coordination isn't the greatest. So I just kind of stick with track.
And when did the love for track come? Was it quite young or did it take a while to develop?
I feel like it was almost instant. I want to say after watching the Olympics in 2008 and just going to like AAU Junior Olympics and stuff, I remember my first experience. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
The second one was fun too, but then it kind of started getting like, I was starting to get a little upset because I was not like coming back with a medal. So like after that, I felt like my passion kind of grew after like I wanted to like strive for something. Like my next goal was like, okay, make it to Junior Olympics and get a medal. And this was like when I was like 9 years old, 10 years old. So like it grew pretty quickly. And then like after that year, like when I was like, I'm not going back without getting a medal, every year after that, thankfully I got a medal. So I mean, I always just like worked hard at it because like I just really like the passion just kind of grew after, I think probably after watching the Olympics, to be honest.
It says a lot about your drive. So was there a particular moment in the Olympics that stood out to you, the 2008 Olympics?
We were just watching Allyson Felix and Cyan Richards Ross. Yeah. I didn't really know exactly, of course, at that age. I knew what events they were running because, like, I was in track. But honestly, just watching everybody from Team USA compete and then just, like, seeing them, like, hold their flags and, like, this, like, big moment. I was like, wow, that's, like, really... It was like looked really cool, of course, at the time. I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like, I want to be something like that. So I just think like just watching the whole thing and like, of course, Team USA, I feel like at the time was like pretty dominant, especially like in the sprints and like 400 and stuff. Yeah. And I was just like, well, that's really cool. Like, I want to do something like that one day. So, yeah.
At that age, did you know what event you wanted to do or was it quite mixed the events you did?
No, not really. So I started off with long jump, the 100 and 200. Those were my top three. So I didn't go into the 400 until like about the age of around 10 years old, nine going on 10, maybe. So because I started track around 7, 8, but like I hit a growth spurt and then like my stride opened up. Yeah. So the 100 I had to drop. Mm. And then the long jump, I don't know why I dropped the long jump. Maybe just because it was just like too much to do long jump 200 and 400. But
yeah.
I really missed the long jump. So at the time, I didn't really know exactly even which event I wanted to do. But I know the 200 was my favorite.
Yeah.
And to this day, it low-key kind of still is. But like, because it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
But I mean, the 400, I'm better at, so like I've grown to love the 400.
Okay. Do you think, obviously you mentioned you're better at the 4, do you think there's any potential in the future where you would do 2?
Yes, I would love to. My main thing right now is just like getting my hamstrings like stronger, because like I feel like I have one that's a little bit stronger than the other, which I feel like it's sometimes common with track, but on my left side, and that kind of like prevents me from doing like a short event. Like that's kind of quicker, like the 200.
Yeah.
Cause sometimes it's just kind of like, depending on the day, it could be like having a great day and like I'm getting my speed up, but then like something will like be like, so hopefully one day I'll get that like sorted out and I can go back to like the 200 and like be like competitive in that sport again. I mean, that event again.
Fair enough. So let's take it back a little bit. So you were at the stage where you obviously decided to focus more on the 400 meters. At that point, were you having, in terms of training, were you training regularly at that point?
When I wanted to focus on the 400? Like from the very beginning when I was like,
So in terms of at that point, did you have a coach at that point, or was this something that you were just doing through school, college? How was it?
So I had a coach. I had my AAU coach around that time. Well, I started the 400 with my first AAU team, Capital City, and then I transitioned to a new one, Great Lakes with Coach Hollingsworth, and then Motor City, which, if a lot of people know Motor City, it's like Coach Brandon is out of Detroit. So I feel like around that time, I had coaches, mainly just AAU. I mean, I did school track too, but my main coaches who really coached me were like my AAU coaches.
Okay.
So we were like doing workouts to cater to like that event and like help me in that event as well. Yeah. But I was also doing the 200 still too.
Okay.
And then like relays, like 4x4, sometimes a 4x1.
Yeah.
But yeah, my parents, of course, like how I mentioned when I got older, going to Motor City and they're out of Detroit. I'm from Lansing. Mm-hmm. So like an hour away. So some days, like my parents would help me with some workouts at home, or like I'll go with my trainer, JJ.
Yeah.
At home, I had like a personal trainer that would train with me. He like specialized in track and field. So he also was like, I thought like in high school, really was like a big component of like some of my practices.
Yeah.
If I didn't go to like Motor City, he helped out a lot, especially when it came to like dropping my times to like 54, then 53, and like in high school, once you get to like 53 and start getting lower, that's pretty good.
Okay.
So I feel like that was kind of like my whole transition period for the 400 and when it came to like my training regimen and stuff.
Okay. So did your parents decide for you to have a, because it's quite unique that you have like a personal trainer and then you have a coach. Like did your parents make that decision for you?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, how did that start? So one of my best friends, Aj, she ran track and field as well, but like her dad knew this trainer named JJ.
Okay.
And he also worked with like her AAU team at the time, was like Lightning Links or something. He was kind of like a helping out with them, I think, at one point in time.
Okay.
And then he just kind of like branched off, was like a high school coach and also like would train track athletes in the summer. So then I started working out with him because of that connection. And it just kind of like worked out because like he really knew what he was doing. And then like at the time, since I transitioned from my home AAU team to like a different team an hour away, it was just more convenient to like work with him while I'm in Lansing. And my coach knew that I was working with him, so it wasn't like a secret or nothing. So it's just like maybe like 2 days out of the week, I'll go to Detroit. And then other days, I'll just stay in Lansing and train.
It's quite interesting you just said that it wasn't a secret, because I know that's a lot of the struggle for some people when they're younger, in terms of when they're not quite sure what they want to do with their coaches. Behind their coach's back, they're they're going to see another coach. And it's, I guess with you, it was good that you're transparent, because it's allowed you to grow in the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big thing, especially like, I feel like not a lot of athletes, but sometimes when people do try to do things like behind their coach's back, for one, it can lead to injury because they may not know what you're doing with that coach. So like, I always just try to be transparent and make sure everybody's on the same page. Like, since I trusted both of them just as much, it was just easier to train.
Yeah.
Instead of driving every day to go to like Detroit. So
yeah. And when it came to your coaches, were you someone that liked to ask questions on a regular basis to understand what their methods are? Or are you the person that would just listen to whatever they say?
Usually I just like listen, but then again, like, I do ask questions, but like, I'm not gonna keep asking questions like all the time. But like in the beginning, I'll be like, well, eventually I kind of understood like what they were doing. Cause like, if I'm doing a tempo day, that's obviously going to help with my strength and endurance.
Yeah.
Short speed just for like my turnover and finish and stuff. So I feel like when I was younger, I probably did a lot.
Yeah.
But I feel like today I don't really ask too many questions.
Yeah.
Maybe a few, but I kind of like go with the flow. Cause like, I trust the process. So
you've already mentioned how your family, your sporty family, and how supportive they were. How was it like when it comes to your friends, like being able to fit in training and still have a social life? How did you handle that?
Well, yeah. So growing up, I feel like I did a pretty good job, especially my parents too, like letting me or allowing me to have like a social life, even though like there were of course events where I couldn't go because I had a track meet or I had to practice, but I feel like my friends also, they were also like athletes in high school, middle school and stuff. So sometimes like we had the same schedule, or even if like they were doing a different sport, they kind of were understanding. So I'm gratefully I've had like friends who were understanding to the where like they didn't make me feel bad for like missing events or not being able to go. Like they're pretty like, okay, if you can't go, like you're probably gonna track me or whatever. But like I was able to do like the big things like prom, homecoming, stuff like that. And I was also in this debutante club, which is like a mother-daughter organization in Lansing. Where we do like a cotillion ball and stuff at the end. But like that kind of helped when it came to like being social as well, because we had like monthly meetings. So I'd interact with other people like at the meetings. We do community service. So like I still like had other stuff, like extracurriculars outside of my sport, which helped me like have like the balance.
And how do you find it now? Because obviously you're still quite young. Is it still as easy to balance track with your personal life?
Right now? No, not really. I feel like especially since like I've graduated college in August with my master's, like I have more free time. I feel like my first year of college, it was probably a little like, because I was trying to have fun and do track, but then like I have to also study. So like, I think I adjusted pretty well, but right now I think I'm doing pretty well having that balance, especially because I have more time on my hands. I currently do have a part-time job, but that also still allows me to like, socialize with people. And then practice usually like in the morning. On the weekends, like I have my weekends to myself, so like I usually hang out with my friends. So I've been doing a pretty good job at that. That's one thing that I'm proud of.
Yeah, it's just the thing. We've more time can make time for your eyes to wander on many different things. So with that extra free time, do you use that time to focus on other stuff away from track, or would you use that time to maybe do something extra that you wouldn't have done in the past?
A little bit of both, but more so like I'm relaxing, like because I know like the week coming up, like usually practice Monday through Friday. Wednesdays are kind of like our jog recovery days, so really like 4 days out of the week we're practicing. So those 2 days I take advantage of to just relax. But I may just of course hang out with friends or just watch something inside, reading, little stuff like that. But if I'm doing something for my sport, I mean, I feel like you're always constantly doing something for your sport, to be honest, because like recovery and relaxing still go like hand in hand with like working out. So whether that be just doing like a stem treatment at home, any type of recovery, or even just like doing some extra jump rope, sometimes I do after practice. when I'm home. So a little bit of both, but I am really heavy on the relaxation part because I know like how our week is and like, yeah, I don't want to do too much.
Fair enough. I'm going to ask you a little bit about your race day. So all the athletes that have come on in the past, like track athletes, I've always tried to understand how their mindset is when it comes to race day and how they prepare. How do you normally prepare? Are you someone that likes to talk amongst the bunch, or are you like to, are someone who likes to keep to themselves? Like, how do you prefer for a race?
I usually keep to myself, but that's just kind of like naturally how I am, especially like when I'm in my zone.
Yeah.
So like, do you want to kind of like know like my race day kind of routine in a way?
Yeah.
Or so like usually in the morning, like I'll wake up, pray. I'll journal if I don't do it the day before, but usually I do it the day of just to get my thoughts out.
Yeah.
And I kind of just talk about what my goals are for the day and all that stuff to like, just kind of get me through the day and calm my nerves. I always talk to my parents as well. If like I have teammates there at my meet, especially now since I'm not in college anymore, I'll probably like talk with them a little bit depending on like if I'm around them or not. But for the most part, I just like have my headphones on like when I'm at the meet, staying calm, probably playing a game on my phone to keep me calm. I usually do that a lot, but I don't really like to talk too much the day of my race, like amongst like people at the meet. But like after I'm done my race, like I'm very social, like I'm very friendly, like but beforehand, I might look a little bit intimidating, but I mean, I'm just like focused. So,
is there anything else that you do to calm your nerves? Because I know some people. You've obviously mentioned you journal. Is there anything else that you may do?
I meditate. So I use my Peloton app, and I use one of the whichever meditation one I want to choose. I usually do like the fitness focused goals meditation on Peloton. I think that one's really nice. And then it's just kind of like one thing my coach will always say is like, if you pray, don't worry. And if you worry, don't pray. So like after I pray, I just try not to worry about it and do too much.
Yeah.
Of course, like nerves will be there, but like,
yeah.
I just try to make sure like they're positive nerves and not like negative self-doubt, things like that. So yeah.
It's interesting you said positive nerves because nerves is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's how you handle your nerves. So explain, has there been times in the past when you've had races when you've maybe not been able to handle your nerves?
Yes. Mm. Oh my gosh. So it used to be so bad. Like my friends, especially in the beginning of college, I mean, even before college, but specifically in college is when I started to change that for me. My freshman year, my nerves used to be so bad that I didn't want to eat before my races, which is, of course, bad. I would eat, but, like, I wouldn't have an appetite. I just, from breakfast, even if I ran, like, that evening, because I know, like, SECs and stuff, like, it's, like, on a TV schedule, so it's always in the evening. So, like, starting from the morning, like, I would just not have an appetite, and I know that's not good for a 400 runner, especially. Yeah. But, and that would just affect my races to the point, my nerves would just be so bad as well. Like, I would get in the race and kind of, like, not really run the way I'm supposed to because my nerves just affecting me that bad. Sometimes it'll be to the point where, like, I would start feeling, like, pain in my knee or something. Like, I'll be fine the whole year.
Mm.
All of a sudden, all my knee is starting to hurt. And, like, I need to get tape in my knee. I'm like, I've never gotten tape in my knee.
Yeah.
I don't need this. But, like, one time my AAU coach, I made him tape it anyways. The tape fell off mid-race. But I ended up running my best time, but it was like to the point where that's how like strong the mind is and how it can like control things negatively.
100%.
So I started talking to a sports psychologist at school. So UF, University of Florida, like they allow us student athletes to have like, I guess, therapists or like sports psychologists that we can talk to free of charge. And I started talking to one. And that kind of helped me a lot. It helped me with, like, coping mechanisms and how I can change that. And I think just ever since then, like, my nerves have never been as bad.
Yeah.
Like, so that's one thing I'm grateful for. And that's kind of, like, how I controlled it in a way.
Mm-hmm. And with the sports psychologist, because I know a lot of athletes use them and some don't. Would they focus on everything to do around this, with the sport, the actual 400 for you? Or would they look at other aspects in your life might play a part in how your nerves work when it comes to a race day?
Yeah, I think a little bit of everything, I would say. Let me think. Because I know, like, we also talk about stuff outside of track. And one of the things that I did with my most recent therapist, she had this one, like, machine or setup thing connected to her computer. And you put, like, your hand on it, and it's, like, it senses your pulses and, like, how you relax. And we did, like, this breathing exercise to help, like, something, like, center, like, your nerves and all that stuff. And just control, like, that baseline. And that was really interesting. So, like,
yeah.
I kind of, like, incorporated that into, like, calming down, like, even in my races or mm-hmm. beforehand. I just remember that, but it kind of helped and worked. But we would also talk about, like, other things, like, she would kind of, like, ask, like, why are you feeling this way? Or, like, if it's connected to something else. Like, in a way, yes and no. But for me, specifically, it wasn't really too much outside of my sport that was affecting my nerves in my sport, if that makes sense.
Okay. And then when, obviously, you're using the sports psych and you're starting to see the changes in your performances in the race, did that then give you a bit of confidence going forward that it was working for you?
Yes, it did give me a bit of confidence. And it's nice because I can, of course, always go back to those tips or pointers, whatever, that helped me the most.
Yeah.
Even today, even when I'm not seeing them consistently, that's one thing that I did, like, that I noticed is that the more it becomes beneficial, the less you'll need to, like, see them as consistently. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I do believe that has helped a lot.
I'm going to go back to 2020. I don't really like talking about 2020 anymore. But for some people, in terms of their career, it, like, the following year, it actually ended up working out better for you. How was it for you? Because obviously you were quite young during that period of time. How much of an impact did it have on your training? And did that experience that happened in 2020, did that allow you to be in a better position for 2021?
So, yeah, it kind of did. I think even, like, during 2020, I remember it so vividly. We're in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I was in ready for indoor nationals and all this stuff. And I was just, like, really excited. Like, I feel like I was in one of my best shapes of my life. So I was really, like, sad to hear that it wasn't happening. Because I'm like, okay, like, what if this was, like, you know, my year, blah, 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 all this stuff. I'm pretty sure everybody had those doubts around that time. But for me, it still ended up working out great because I started peaking at the right time. Like that in 2021, like just leading up to trials, about every, almost every meet, specifically outdoor, I was like getting a season's best or PR, I guess. And I just kind of came back stronger because I kind of had the majority of 2020 during lockdown to just train. Like my coach was still sending us workouts, not like on the track specifically, but more so like, let's say at the stadium, the football stadium, like just do some plyometrics, do X, Y, and Z, like stuff like that, like little things like that. So I feel like I did spend like a lot of the summer getting stronger, which helped me for 2021. And it just kind of worked out luckily. Unfortunately, it happened that way because it was a pandemic. But it did like end up working out when it came to like my strength.
How was that Olympic experience for you? Because obviously it was a unique Olympics. There was no fans. How did you, obviously it was your first Olympics. How was it being in that environment where there's no fans? You see the beautiful stadium, you see all the Olympic stuff, but yeah, how was it for you?
Yeah, so I was just still like just excited that I was in Tokyo to begin with. I'm like, wow, this is kind of crazy. But then like once I was there, it was still like an amazing experience. I just remember this one moment specifically walking onto the track for the mixed relay and looking up and seeing nobody. And I was just like, okay, this is a little different. It just kind of felt, that moment felt a little bit different than I envisioned, like, I guess even just growing up as a kid. So that part, it was just kind of like, this is kind of weird. But then again, like, before that moment, even for indoor SECs and track, like for NCAA, like we had no spectators. So it wasn't like an unfamiliar feeling, but like because the stadium was so large and all you seen was like maybe like your coaches and like some people that were like there for track and field. Yeah. You seen those people, but it was a little bit different. But like once you were running, it was fine. Mm-hmm. But even outside of just the track, let's say back at the village, like we couldn't leave the village. Mm-hmm. We couldn't explore. So that was like one thing that I missed, I guess, that I really wanted to experience.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was still like, okay, I'm still in Tokyo. Like, it's still cool, of course. I see other people in the village.
Yeah.
But it was just like, yeah, I mean, of course, Paris would be a lot different. So I'm looking forward to that experience. Yeah. But it was just, yeah, it was different.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've just kind of mentioned Paris. So obviously Paris is a year away. This year is a kind of a pivotal year for a lot of people in terms of gauging where they are. What are the main things you want to get out of this season that's just started?
The main things I want to get out of this season is to just drop my times and just do the best that I can do. Yeah. I want to make the Budapest World Championships team. So that's like one of my number one goals right now is training for Budapest.
Yeah.
And making sure that everything is in order and that like I'm physically, mentally, like all together, like fit to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
Like last year I was injured. So unfortunately, like my season didn't really go the way I wanted it to.
Yeah.
And especially after having like such like a high year before that.
Yeah.
It was just not like the trajectory that I or probably other people even thought would happen for me. But yeah. So it's just like my comeback year. Staying healthy is the main thing. Cause I feel like last year I was like so fit. It's really just I was injured. And yeah. Like for this year, like I'm off to a good start. I'm healthy. I'm just trying to maintain that so
yeah.
I can carry it into trials/championships and then like Budapest and beyond that and just turn this whole year around for me.
How is the trial experience for you? Because I know I have had some people on saying that they were more nervous for the trials than they were at the Olympics. How has it been for you in previous experiences?
So yeah, for Olympic trials specifically, I do think, okay, yeah, I was for sure more nervous. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it. So like the first round was kind of like, okay, that's not like as nervous. Like I was like, okay, I can do this. And I did it. I'm like, okay, just take it one round at a time. And one thing that kind of helped my nerves at the time was my dad, both my parents specifically, like just telling me, like when we go out to eat in Oregon, like, you know, you have nothing to lose, only things to gain, because I am a college athlete. Nobody's expecting me to make the team. Like, people are expecting the certain people to make the team, but like, you don't have pressure to make the team. So like, you don't even have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So really all that you have at this meet is things to gain. So I was like, that is right. So even if like, I don't make the final, nobody's gonna like my contract isn't in jeopardy. Like, I'm not going to get like negative feedback. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, just taking it one round at a time was a big thing for me. But then once I got to like the second round, which determined if you're going to be in the final, that's when I feel like that was probably like the most nerve-wracking time. Like, I don't know, just like being in my hotel room and just trying to be calm beforehand. Like, I was just like, I'm really like about to possibly make this Olympic team, like if I made it to this final. So I'm just like, and at the time I didn't know they were taking top eight either.
Yeah.
So like I was like, even if we make the final, I still have to get top six.
Yeah.
So I feel like after the season, I mean round two happened,
yeah,
it kind of like took a little bit of the nerves off, but then it was just kind of like, okay, this is like now or never. Like it's like they're gonna make the team, I'm gonna try again in 4 years or three years. So but yeah, and then when I got to like the Olympics, I would say it was like it wasn't as bad. They are correct when they say like Team USA is like the hardest team to make. Like that's, I understand it now, especially because I tried out for a senior team for the first time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like it was much harder than the Olympics. But I mean, I didn't have an individual event. So I mean, it could be different for somebody who went there for an individual event. But
yeah,
in terms of like relays, like the trials is harder. In my opinion.
Yeah, I was about to get there in terms of your relay. Relay is kind of seen as the fun thing, even though you do get a medal at the end of it. You tend to be more relaxed mentally for it. How describe the feeling in your mind when you did end up getting the medal at the Olympics?
The experience. So how I was feeling, I remember just like watching the final. Honestly, I was just like, I mean, of course, everybody wants to come home with the medal, and like everybody was expecting us to get one. So we ended up getting even just like third place. I was just like, because it was like a really close race. I remember that. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, did we like get a spot? Or so when we seen it, I was just like happy. Like at that point, I didn't really care about like what place we got.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that we got top three and we are coming home with hardware. So I was like really grateful for the experience. Especially for like my first Olympic experience, like that's not really something that always happens to come home with like a medal. So I was just very grateful for everything and like how everything just happens. Like I do believe everything happens for a reason. So our place wasn't like because of something happening earlier in the race. Like it just happened that way because it was supposed to happen that way.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I had tears of joy when I actually got the medal. So, like, I was just really happy. I'm like, wow, this actually happened. Yeah. So, I was nothing but grateful.
Okay. Last question. Normally, with this question, I always ask for three things you think you have in terms of your mindset. But I want to change a little bit. So, I want to know the three things you think you have in terms of your mindset. But what are the three things you think you could add to your tools when it comes to your mindset as well?
That's a really good question. Okay, like in terms of like three things that could add to my mindset. I would say, that's a really good question. I guess when it comes to like a little bit of adversity, like I feel like I do pretty good staying calm, but then just like let's say like after a race, something didn't go my way, and like I'm a little upset, or if it's just like something got into my head because I may be feeling pain somewhere, I'm not letting it get to me too much to where I get too emotional. I do a pretty good job of like just holding my emotions together, but when it comes to like myself, not even like if I didn't place a certain place, but like more so like I know I could do better or something is bothering me in my body and like I let it get to my mind mentally. Just keeping it like all together and not like always assuming the worst thing or like have my emotions get the best of me. So like I would say just like I guess becoming I guess more a little emotionally stronger when it comes to certain things. Not everything. I'm pretty emotionally strong in most things, but like just little things like that. I try to stay in order. I feel like, I don't know if I have three right now. So I do try to like, I feel like my parents also help me when it comes to like other things that I may be lacking. They kind of help me bring it together.
Yeah.
That's one thing, since like they're usually there for every meet. So a lot of times, like if something is going on to where like I need like a pick me up or like they need to like help me get something in order, like stop doing that. Like they kind of are helping me in a way, but I for sure have one. I don't know about the other two. I have to think about that.
You think about that. You can tell me another time. Just let it think in your head. I'm not going to force you to do it now. But no.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, go on.
So, well, I actually have two. First one is about track. So, if you could do any event for any reason, what would you do? And what event wouldn't you do?
Should that be based on my actual ability or based on what I actually like?
It doesn't have to be ability. If you could, let's say like you had the ability to do anything.
Okay. If I had the ability to do anything, it would be 200 meters because growing up, that was my favorite event to watch. My favorite athlete growing up was Michael Johnson. So I loved 200 meters until I started doing it. So it would be that. In terms of events that I wouldn't do, and that's the event you do, it's not for me. It's just so hard. I I rate 400 meter runners so much, and I rate you so much because for me, that is like one of the hardest events to do, because you're basically sprinting for a whole lap. And for anyone that may have not tried that, they do not understand how draining mentally and physically it is. So I would say the four.
Yes, I can agree with that one. That's a good one. Okay. And then my other question was, when it comes to like your mental health, and then just like, how would you cope with some of your feelings like during like race day or just leading up to like a big track meet? Mm-hmm. Like, what were some things that helped you?
I think for me, because I was someone that probably suffered from race anxiety, I would say my best races were when my mind was not focused on the race. My mind was focused on other stuff. And you would say you were someone that likes to be by themselves. Me, I'm probably better if I've got people around me who are more jokey, because it will allow me not to focus on the race. And
that's nice.
Yeah, I think that's what works for me. When I had good races, so I would say that. But it's not the same for everyone, as you know.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a good perspective. Like, sometimes that is true. Like, sometimes you do need like that laughing factor, or like just ease the intensity.
Yeah,
I guess I would say.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting.
Yeah, I think there's some like that. You look at the greatest sprinter of all time, Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt, all that messing about is not because he was just having fun. It was to do. I saw his first Olympics and saw how nervous and how tense he was. And he obviously learned from that, that for him, the approach for him was to be all jokey, laughy. When it came to running, he was serious, but it allowed him to be himself on the track. And I guess there's going to be some people who operate that way and some who don't. So, yeah, that's it, really.
And I never thought of, that's actually a good comparison, because that is true. For some people to perform like the best of their ability, like they kind of have to be a little jokey outside of like, of course, when they're running.
Yeah.
But that's a great comparison, because he is like one of those people who is kind of like, yeah, I'm not going to take it too seriously.
Yeah.
Like leading up. So, okay, that's very interesting.
And he did it respectfully, because there's, you might have some who don't do it respectfully, but he did it respectfully. It didn't really like whine anyone. He was more for the crowd than for other people. And I think there has to be a balance, because I don't think track and field is one of those sports where you're going out to intimidate people, unlike boxing, which is different. I think your intimidation should be through the way you run, not through the way how you're like jumping up and down and everything before the race. So I like that approach compared to other approaches. So that's why that works for me.
Okay, that's great. That's nice to hear.
Yeah. Taylor, we could talk forever, but I'm going to end it. I'm going to let you enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks again for coming on. So I'll speak to you again soon.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. This was a really great experience. I enjoyed this podcast interview.
Thank you.